Welcome to Movie Banter.
Episode 70.
Hey.
There you go.
It's like a really innuendo-heavy one, and one more.
One more.
We're turning innuendo up to 11.
Yeah, exactly. If podcasts were British men in the future, then we'd be able to retire, finally, now.
No, what, future British men?
Well, because they're talking about raising the age
That's
to 70.
That's a really obscure reference.
Well, yeah. You know, it's not 69, is it? You know,
I'm trying to keep it...
No, trying to find any reference whatsoever.
Political...
Like anyway, it's 70, so whatever that is. But, yeah. but plus a few, because we've done the mini-banters now. So who knows how many we've done.
Yeah,
really,
a couple of spaces. Yeah, with all like, the 0.5s and the 0.75s that we've thrown in. We're basically up to about 150 by now.
Hey! Happy birthday! So this week, we've actually got some films to talk about.
We have.
The drought may be nearly over.
It is. It really is. Yeah, because we've got Twilight Eclipse.
It actually counts down, doesn't it? We've got a 4, a 3, a 2, and a 1.
We have.
We've got Shrek 4,
yes.
Twilight 3.
Get him to the Death of the Funeral
2-ish.
And get him to the Reap 1.
Yeah.
Although, weirdly, every
We haven't reviewed the film 4-3-2-1, which
no,
is a shame.
Which is a shame, because
that'd be the perfect addition to round everything out.
But we haven't... oddly as well, all four films are either spin-offs or remakes or...
Yeah, well, that's the current trend.
It's the season, isn't it? It's the summer. It's what you get in the summer.
Yes, although, this will come up in the mini-banter we talk about next week, but Inception is coming out soon.
Oh, yes.
And that's proper original.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yes, and everyone apparently loves it so far. So, getting excited
as well.
So
we've got... I'm Paul Grenzer, by the way. Hello.
Oh, yes, we haven't done that. Yes. I'm John Sands.
No, I'm Jenny Masters. Hello, again.
Yes.
So it rolls off the tongue that way.
Right, very nice. She's a strange girl. You'll get used to her. Just about.
Yeah.
Yes. We're all slightly better than we were last week, I think, because last week I was exhausted, Jenny was very ill, and Paul hadn't seen any films.
Yeah.
And this week, Paul's seen films, I'm now more awake, and Jenny's less ill. But still slightly ill.
Jen's a bit ill.
Quite ill.
Yeah. I've got
You're less ill. Oh, really?
Does that help?
Actually, I've injured my leg.
Well, exactly.
We're still falling apart, just in slightly different ways.
Yeah. Like a 70-year-old. It's great, yeah.
But mentally,
back, you did well.
Mentally, I think we're all slightly more on board. But we'll see how it goes.
Well, let's see how on board we are. Should we embark on the first film of this movie extravaganza?
I think we should, because otherwise it just ends up becoming banter.
That's true. There's loads of those.
Well, it could work as a podcast, but
it's been done.
We need a niche.
So let's do...
I like the movie.
Do you like the movie Twilight Eclipse, though?
That's almost professional.
Yeah, I'll sit down over here now while you tell us about it.
Yeah, because Paul hasn't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
But we have. Yeah. I have to say, I actually quite did. This is, if you go back and listen to, I haven't listened to it for a while, so I can't, go back and listen to our review of New Moon, it's probably me and Jen ranting on about how it was the worst film we'd ever seen. Because it is. Oh, it's a terrible film. As comments on Facebook proved, this gets slightly... may get some people slightly irate, because some people will go, no, New Moon was brilliant. But I think that's because it was a very Twilighty film.
Yeah.
It seemed very teenage angsty and not much
else. As far as I can even remember, New Moon had no real plot. Edward goes away, Bella talks to Jacob a lot. That's it, for about an hour and a half.
And then there's exciting 5 minutes at the end.
Yeah, the five minutes at the end, it all picks up a bit. And then, it's finished.
Yeah.
Whereas this, it feels like a proper film.
Hey!
It's got a plot, it's got lively direction and jokes.
It's the bloke who did Hard Candy.
Yes, and 30 Days of Night.
Exactly.
Well.
So he's done vampire.
I don't know if he's like more hardcore vampire film, but still, yeah. So he's got a better pedigree than Chris Weitz, who did, apart from American Pie, did Golden Compass and something else very mediocre.
Yeah.
So I think I'd like to think as a director it just had a bit more weight behind it and could just get more out of people.
Yeah.
But yeah, it also has self-aware references.
Yeah.
Because one problem we had with New Moon was that Jacob is always taking his shirt off for no good reason, which I'm sure the fans love, but if you're not a fan, it just looks ridiculous. And in this, while he and his other werewolf, shapeshifter friends... occasionally have their shirts off.
Mostly
have their shirts
except
off.
Except for the girl. Wonder why.
Well, yeah. But it's far more...
Boo to Twilight.
But it's far more just pictures. Well, it's just how they are. There's no sort of long, lingering shots. Hey, shirtless men. It's just sort of, hey, they're just there. But at one point, Edward's walking up to him with Bella, and he's there with his shirt off, flashing his abs at the world. And Edward turns to Bella and says, doesn't he own a shirt? And with that one line, I thought, brilliant. You've got me on board. You've just acknowledged that it looks a bit silly.
Good.
But you've also acknowledged why he does it. And so it just makes it far more watchable.
Yeah. In fact, in this one, I think there was a distinct lack of slow motion walking shots.
Yes, that was the other thing that within impressive. The first few minutes made us laugh. In New Moon, when we first see Edward, and he has a slow motion walking into the wind, sort of walking from his camera, and it was just laughable. And
mainly because the girl behind us dropped her popcorn.
Yeah, she was overcome with emotion.
Oh, I can't control my hands.
I've got a fit of the vapours. whereas none of that in this, which again makes for a better film.
Shame.
so less unintentionally funny moments. But there are just one or two. I mean, there's one moment when Edward and Jacob are chatting in a tent while Bella's asleep. And it's not entirely believable because they were nearly, almost literally, at each other's throats a bit earlier.
Yeah.
And then suddenly they're just chatting quite friendlily.
Okay.
But Jacob says, no, I need to warm her up because I'm much hotter than you are. And again, the fan just emerged because there's a face up between the two. But it's just a little self aware half gag.
Yeah.
That you think, okay, brilliant. It's more likable.
Mm. There's glimmers of wit. I think that's the difference. Mm. And also, as well as a bit more script and plot, there's a bit more action.
Yes.
A lot more action.
Yeah, because I would genuinely hard push to tell you what the plot really was of New Moon. Because there wasn't, not because I can't remember, because there really wasn't a huge amount. It was Edward going away and Bella trying to cope.
I'm a bit worried that the next one, they're breaking in two, aren't they? Is it Breaking Dawn?
Breaking Dawn.
They're doing a Breaking and a Dawn. And I'm a bit... Because given that New Moon, not much went on, surely...
I've read the plot description of Breaking Dawn, and there's far more going on.
Okay.
And including, apparently, a really gory birth scene, which I don't think they're going
to
show. Because it's really horrific in the book. Right. Apparently, it's quite disturbing. I think a lot goes on in Breaking Dawn they can work with. But in this, this film follows more on from Twilight than it does from New Moon. New Moon, you could almost excise completely, and you wouldn't miss anything. Yeah, because the main villain in this is Victoria, who was in the first one.
Mm.
I remember the red-headed vampire.
That's right.
Who was played by someone else and is now played by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Wow, she looks different.
Yeah, well, it's the flaming red hair.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Paul, you go and see it for the flaming red hair alone, and Bryce Dallas Howard.
But she's the daughter of Ron Howard.
Well, yes.
Which makes it weird, because I apparently look a bit like Ron Howard.
Yeah.
So that's a bit weird.
Well, yes. So the plot of this is that she is trying to get revenge on the Cullens who attacked or killed her mate in the first one. And she's helping create an army of vampires, sort of turning people. So we've got all these uncontrollable vampires in Seattle who are then going to attack the Cullens.
Hmm.
And there's a bit more to it than that, but that's enough of a plot to hang a film around and stuff going on, a bit of conflict, a bit of resolution.
And then also the Volturi. Yes.
I think Volturi.
The royal family.
Yes. Yeah. Although he isn't in this one, actually, but Dakota Fanning is.
I like Michael Sheen.
Yes.
And again, they're probably in it only maybe even less than they
were in
the last
one. But the threat
of
it is a lot more.
Yeah, at least they're now. That's the one purpose that New Moon serves, is to set up the Volturi as a presence. Mm. So when they turn up in this one, you think, okay, I know who they are and why they matter.
Hmm. But you say that they create this army, and there's this big showdown which shows the vampires.
Yeah, they say an army of vampires, and it's about 30.
It's a football team.
Oh, yeah,
okay. They just turn up, and they don't really stand a chance. Let's face it.
It's an England football team.
that's something else, because they say, oh no, but they're newborn vampires, so they're far more bloodthirsty and violent and dangerous, which we don't really see that much. And it's also they do. I'm now dissing this film. I said I quite liked, but it did occur to me that they. They also say, no, we need to train Jasper. I think it's Jasper, has had experience of fighting newborns, so he can train us all. And then you have a bit of a montage where they just have a bit of a fight in a field. And they say, no, the werewolves will join us because then they can learn how to fight them as well. And the werewolves just sort of stand there watching and go, right, okay, brilliant, and then wander off. And so they don't quite get the menace across.
Okay.
I'm doing a slight disservice.
No,
it all hangs together.
But I mean, it's just showing a bit more action, a bit more physicality to it.
Yes, and also we get some backstory of a couple of the Cullens as well, which then tie into Bella's story in a slightly clunky way, but not really, because Edward wants to marry Bella. And she's saying, no, let's just have sex, because that's how teenage girls think.
And then
all
they go, no, because if you do that, there'll be no more chemistry for us to play with.
Well, yes. But again, at least...
a lot of biology.
But again, I mean, this probably comes up in the books. But again, whereas in the last film, it was all just this sort of unrequited, angsty. Oh. At least in this, Edward just says, "No, well, you know, I'm 150 years old or whatever, but I come from a simpler time, and so this is how I feel that, you know, you should have caught you, and we should do it this way, and we should get married." So at least it just explains why he feels the way he feels, so you can relate to it a bit more, rather than just, no, let's just stare at each other longingly and do nothing ever.
Have they got any of those scenes where the camera goes around Bella?
No.
She sits down
months
and wets
in the
herself.
Same place.
Yeah. Not gone to the
soils
toilet
herself
for a year.
And doesn't wash.
Sat in her own effluent.
No, none of that. Bella washes and changes clothes and everything. No, we don't see you. Yeah, anyway. So fundamentally, I mean, it's not going to get... I don't think anyone who hasn't seen the previous two is going to rush to it and say, oh, I must see this. But I think if anyone saw the first one who wasn't a Twilight fan and thought, oh, that's all right, and then watched the second one and thought, oh, this is terrible.
Can you miss out the second one?
Give this one... I genuinely think you can. Yeah. I think if you... Provide you just accept there's a clan of royal vampires who look a bit aloof and can cause people injury and are responsible for stuff, which could have been set up in a 30-second prologue to this one, really... Mm. New Moon is pretty much completely ignorable. And again, I'm sure any Twilight fans may write in and say, no, but this was terrible, how dare you, New Moon is brilliant. But as a non-Twilight fan film watcher, New Moon was awful.
Yes.
Twilight, I quite enjoyed, and this one I quite enjoyed. I'm not sure whether this is better or worse than Twilight, but there's not much in it. They're both quite likeable.
Shall we see what listener comments are?
We can have a look.
We had Valicia Denise Brown, who said, let's definitely pretend that Twilight never happened. Not New Moon, though. So,
yeah,
again,
that's the thing. I think the Twilight fans have different standards to non-Twilight fans who like films.
But how could you say, let's pretend the film that sets it all up, let's pretend that never happened, because then you suddenly go and go, well, who are these people? You can't start
well,
the second
yeah.
one. But anyway.
Yes. And then we also had Nikki C is saying, Eclipse is by far the best book and film. See, I've not read the books at all. But apparently the books are quite, provided you get over the slightly, I mean, a lot of it is a bit angsty. But apparently the books are quite readable, and I feel I should read them at some point.
Do you know how many there are?
There are four books, and that's it. I think it is.
So after Breaking, that's why they're doing it in two, isn't it? Like Harry Potter. They think, oh, we can't finish.
Exactly. No, our balance sheet's looking a bit touch and go.
Are they doing it a bit like we do with podcasts, saying we'll do a 0.5 and then a 0.75, and then so they'll weed that out.
Yeah. It's a bit like software releases.
Yeah.
I think the point with this film for me, because I haven't read the books, and I'm not a particular fan,
but you can't read.
I can't read. No, that's more. Is that this film seems a better film all round? But then again, it also seems, in a way, a slightly more understood film with the action points. Whereas Moon was very much a very brooding niche point, which probably satisfied Twilight fans.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you like better films, then you'll probably like this film. But if you like lots of angsty.
Yeah,
Twilight
if you really want
culture.
Lingering shots of Edward and Jacob and Twilight lore, then the second
then
one
buy
might
a poster.
Work
yeah,
well, that's
basically.
The thing.
Build the film goes.
Yeah,
and spin it round you consistently
exactly,
so
yeah,
you can get that
and don't
feeling.
Get lost for 6 months
around a wall.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Good. Okay. Give it a go. I think if you've been put off the Twilight films by the last one, then give this one a go.
I'll give it a go.
But if you've not seen either of the other two, then you probably shouldn't start with this one. But
I like the Twilight chocolates, so it's a good start.
I like the time of day.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's
I like
crack
the
on.
Song Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bonnie Tyler.
No.
Well, it's Eclipse.
Oh,
that would
be
brilliant.
Oh, Eclipse.
Oh,
just shove that in there.
That would be great, yeah. Turn around. Come on, Bella. Turn around, bright eyes.
She hasn't got bright eyes. She's still got dead cold eyes with no emotions.
Well, it's a bit hard. She's livelier in this film, though.
Yeah, no.
There
it's
are
just
occasional
the...
smiles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think that's why it's a direction thing and maybe a script thing, but the script's better in this as well. Because apparently in The Runaways, which I don't think has been out yet, she's quite good, apparently, in The Runaways. Whereas in this, she's just a bit bland. But Stephanie Mayers, the author, anyway, has said that Bella is meant to be quite bland, so any woman can project themselves onto her and relate to her and stuff. Which isn't necessarily,
oh, yes, you said that.
Yeah, so which isn't necessarily healthy. But at least in this, they give her a bit more of a personality.
And at least, you know, she's consistent.
Well, yes. But then, yeah, if we start critiquing it too much, we'll get into a general Twilight.
So that's why they
just
cast, what's she called?
Kristen Stewart.
Kristen Stewart, because they just wanted something bland. That's nice.
Well,
good for her to hear,
no, but, as, it, but as in that she's attractive, but she's not too pretty.
Well, I think and, she's very pretty.
I know she's pretty, but she's not. I mean, if you cast, like, Megan Fox in the role, then you probably divide people a bit more.
You know, it's someone so too overtly sexual. It's all about that.
Yeah.
So. Anyway,
okay. Well, there we go. Well, shall we move on? So, speaking of film franchises outstaying their welcome. Shrek. This is Shrek Forever After, which is the fourth and final Shrek film.
Well, yeah, they made a big point about that. I don't know why that seemed a weird marketing thing for me to make a big deal. Say, it's the last one.
Because we promise we won't do it.
They're kind of putting themselves in a corner, but I don't see the only reason to do that would be people who say, if it's the last one, I ought to go and see it.
Yeah.
And I don't see who would ever think that.
And they could easily do another one. There's no reason. I mean, the problem is that, you know, Shrek, the original film, I thought was very good.
Yeah.
And Shrek 2 was pretty good
I recall Shrek 2 being better than
I think it actually was. Yeah. They made some quite nice little wry, fairy tale-y sort of Disney jokes.
Yeah.
Shrek 3. Bit of a plummet.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that.
We have. We went to see it.
Did we?
And
we,
I think, I remember finding it very disappointing. I can't remember how you thought.
I locked it out.
Well,
I think it was just too messy. I think there was a lot going on. There's like Captain Hook appeared and then they were taken away to an island and there's a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. The Prince Charming. Then there's the Justin Timberlake in it as the heir to the throne.
Didn't they have a sort of finale on stage somewhere?
Yeah. Well, they do that in all the films. There's a lot of each and they have that. So this one is a slight return to form. I laughed out loud about 5 to 6 times, which is good.
Yeah.
And, you know, they bring back all of the characters we like to see. So we've got Shrek and we've got Fiona. We've got the King and Queen, John Cleese and... Mary Poppins. Julie Andrews. He had a real name. And and Puss is there and Donkey's there. But in this one, because they've done this thing where they've done the original, and then they've done a twist on it when, you know, Shrek has now been an ogre and been a human, and she's been an ogre and been a human. And they've saved each other, and you know, they've done everything.
Yeah.
So now the only thing left to do is to go back to just before the first film started, and rewrite everything and say, but there's an alternate dimension, which, and part of watching it thinking, okay, they sort of get away with it with potions and that sort of thing, but I'm thinking that's more sci-fi area. Than traditional fairy tale.
Well,
you know, you get a nice leather bound book, and Cinderella went to the tower, and then suddenly there was a big flash in time, and she woke up as a checkout girl. And you know, it doesn't. I don't know that alternate dimensions really lend themselves to the fairy tale.
I think also if you have to start using increasing gimmicks to make a film, as in if you can make, I mean, because most sequels you start off with two characters, then you might add a family member, but you're fundamentally the same characters, the same situation. Yeah. You know, doing new things, and that's the sequel. Mm. If you can't get away with that, if there's not enough plot to use that and just add a bit onto it, and you have to start saying, right, let's just change everything to make it work, that doesn't bode well for the sort of fundamentals.
Let's pretend it never happened.
Why not make another film?
Because if you attach Shrek onto it, then you make more money.
Well, fair enough.
Which is harsh, but it's also the reality of filming, which is why there are so many spin-offs and sequels.
And as well as that, I think making it a different film would... It wouldn't quite work for some of the parts, you know, the fact that you've got Donkey and you've got Shrek and those bits sort of do work, although what seemed fresh, you know, 10 years ago and Mike Myers' Scottish accent and Eddie Murphy being a kind of an idiotic donkey, you know, it's kind of funny then and the jokes wang a little bit thin now. The donkey walks along singing a modern pop song. There's a lot of sort of party pop cover versions of, you know, 70s and 80s classics, and they seem to like that. They do a lot of that in all the films.
Yeah.
So, but you
just
know,
to keep the parents on board.
Exactly. You know, so the soundtrack album, then you go and buy that. And, So, but it's to be fair, it's got some funny bits in it, and it hangs together, and it works. And they've, you know, a lot. They've brought back a lot of the. They haven't brought back all the characters, which is quite good in a way.
Okay. Yeah.
So Jennifer Saunders
isn't in it. She's. Her character appears in a montage at the end when everyone's singing along.
Okay,
but clearly, they didn't hire Jennifer Saunders for it. They just drew her. And equally, Prince Charming's not in it. And, you know, so they've got Rumpelstiltskin, who's a new guy.
Right.
Who's actually the head of story on the script, actually plays Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh, right.
Because in the read-throughs, he was doing it. And they thought, yep, you're good at that.
Oh, fair enough.
That was quite good. So I approve of that.
I actually had a bit of news. I don't know whether this may have affected the film with Jennifer Saunders recently. I saw on the Breakfast News this morning, she's just been given the all clear for breast cancer.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
All right, no, I didn't know that she had it in the first place.
No, exactly.
But hurrah that she was given all clear.
Yeah, apparently she was diagnosed in October, so I don't know whether maybe that had affected this film.
Maybe. Yeah, no, well, I don't think it needed her, though. It didn't need these other... You know, there's too many characters to fit in now, in a way. And so rather than in the previous films, you had the princesses, you know, they had Snow White and Cinderella and those things. And that was quite a funny thing, but they kind of ran their course, I think, in the previous film. So they've got witches in this one. They've got four or five witches who are working as evil people.
Okay.
And they are played by Lake Bell.
Oh, I love Lake
Kristen Bell.
Right.
All the Bells. Exactly. Just any Bell. You know,
Jamie Bell.
Baby Bell.
Mini Bell. Bell. Exactly. That's her daughter.
Yeah. All the Bells, anyway. Palsy.
I was waiting for
really?
That.
And Big Ben.
Big Ben, obviously. Yeah, that's right. So they're in it, and there's a few others as well. I can't think of. Oh, Kathy Griffin. She's
okay.
Don't have a Bell in their name.
But no,
never mind. But they, you know, they have good cast, and it's well done, and there's not much more to say really, because it's just quite entertaining. And
okay, well, it sounds like it, if it is the last one, sounds like an all right send off.
So don't be put off by Shrek 3, yes. Shrek 4 ever after, or Shrek 4 a few dollars more,
yeah.
Which is clearly what it's actually made for. is all right. It's worth a look.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, it seems to sort of fit the Twilight theory then. Don't put off by the film before,
exactly,
because they've now managed to pull it back.
Yeah,
and it's now made it more watchable again.
Yeah.
But please stop now.
Well, yeah, maybe the good and bad thing, if people continue insisting on churning out loads of sequels, maybe eventually they get to a point where they just get so awful they think, oh, okay, no one wants to see this. Maybe we should put some more effort in, and then they pick up again.
Yeah, but maybe so.
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
So that was that. And if you've seen any of those films, feel free to email us, podcast@moviebanter.co.uk.
Yes, or tweet us at Movie Banter. Or on Facebook, just search Movie Banter, and we'll be there.
As did these people.
Oh,
sorry, Paul's just gesturing to his left, as if they're about to come in through your window.
They're all in the cupboard. Come on, everybody, come on out, come on out. We've had a tweet from Super Toys on Twitter.
Hello.
Says, watched Roadhouse 4 for the... Is that Roadhouse... Oh, I thought it was Roadhouse 4.
Ah, because you mentioned Roadhouse 4, and I thought, really? I didn't even know there were 2, 3, or 4.
It's usually abridged.
Well, that's from Twitter, so you need to truncate yourself.
4 is watched Roadhouse 4 for the first time. Yes, great fight scenes, countless kicks, and the best throat rip I've ever seen.
Ooh.
And a blind guy. Okay, is that the secret formula to a good film?
Just throw a blind guy in.
And a blind guy.
Yeah, I like Roadhouse.
I've never seen Roadhouse.
Oh, really? It's just classic Patrick Swayze.
Let alone Roadhouse 4.
you have to make Roadhouse 4 first. It's classic, sort of generic 80s-ness, but there's a degree of cult appeal in there.
Yeah.
It's just Patrick Swayze kicking a lot of people, really. Yeah.
Fantastic.
It's good to know. I like this idea of, that you know, we can put together... I did a website years ago, The Perfect Movie. Is that really
that rings a bell, yeah.
And the idea was that people then email in and say, well, we'd like, what's the best thing they want to see? A romantic comedy, but the favourite actor is this guy, favourite actress is her... They should do this. There should be a scene where they do this and that. And so we kind of write as a committee.
Yes.
And then it makes the perfect movie.
As an idea back then, that works. I remember quite liking that idea. But now, I don't know if just watching more films or being more involved in, not filmmaking, but the internet and people, or aware of the film industry, that now, like you say, now sounds like a terrible idea to make a film.
Well, it does.
Because that's how you end up with killers.
I don't think it would work, but I think we could put it out there to the listener. Well, if anyone has, we'll write a film together as listeners.
Yeah,
and
we'll get a pitch together, and then we can float it past people.
You just give us, anyone can email in with any idea of genre, actor, a scene you want to see in it, and we'll put them all in, whatever happens, no matter how bad it is. If you want to see it on screen, we'll make it happen. It may not happen, but we can pretend.
Yeah, this is not a guarantee. Yeah.
So, for example, Super Toys have started running with a blind guy, apparently.
Okay, so every film must have a blind guy.
Exactly.
It sounds like that game. Do you ever play this game at school where you've got a piece of paper and the idea is you write a name of a girl and then you fold it over and give it to someone else?
Consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
let's do a big movie version of Consequences.
We could do that. Yeah,
if we sort out the main point and then people can just...
Yeah.
Write a line after each other.
Him and her and they that meet guy there. From that thing. They meet there.
She says...
Exactly. He says something else.
This happens.
Yeah. We could do this. Well, I think this is probably worryingly how Hollywood works.
Well, I think it is. As in, he's available, she's available. Yeah. We've got this idea we haven't used. Yeah. That no one's done that for a while.
Exactly.
People like this. Let's do a version of that. And then you end up with a just generic film that will make some money.
Ben Affleck and Sandra Bullock meet in a lawyer's office. They don't get on. Then they do get on.
Exactly.
Credits.
That's it.
Oh, that's both believable and scary at the
Bullock,
same time.
Bullock, Affleck together for the first time in a lawyer's office. You wanted it. We made it. Really?
If you loved Reynolds and Bullock in a lawyer's office, you'll love Affleck and Bullock in a lawyer's office.
Yeah. Well, there you go. We'll do it. So feel free. Email in podcast@movanta.co.uk with your ideas for what you want to see in a film.
Yeah. Then we'll put you a write-up. Or you can make the magic happen. Yeah.
Hold on, one off.
Yeah.
That sort of film. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, ideally, people don't even mind suggesting that Paul does that, because frankly, no one needs to see that.
Oh, dear. Well, listeners wouldn't. Just you guys.
No. Oh, no, it's even worse.
Should we move on?
Please, okay. As fast as humanly possible.
Callum Reevey has emailed. Callum says, "Hey guys, a comment on the mini banter episode." Oh, mini banter. Now, because we were asking, because we've done a few mini banters. We didn't do one last week. You'll notice this is the first one in about 2 weeks. And some of you may have tuned in last week going, but where? There is no thing.
That's primarily because no films are out.
Well, there is that, exactly. But yeah, so if you want mini banters, then you have to tell us. And Callum has. Callum says, firstly, mini banter is better than no banter. Yes.
Fair enough.
Secondly, be happy to have shorter episodes, maybe. Maybe doing the cutting in half thing. We've done that a few times, so we could perhaps look at that. But if you have any other thoughts, feel free to email us in, and we will change them for you. So that's all the emails we've had, actually.
Fair enough. Well, it's probably a dearth of films. Is it dearth? Is dearth not many, or is it loads?
Dearth at the funeral.
Yeah, nice link.
Yeah, thanks.
But in which case, we'll go straight to Death of the Funeral and cover up my lack of grammatical knowledge.
Shall we?
Yeah.
We won't do get into the Greek, but we could do Death of the Funeral.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have said Death of the Funeral.
Well, I'll do it now, because it's quick.
Go on then.
Oh, really?
It's all right.
Fair enough. is it basically go back? Actually, no, was Death of, I don't know if we reviewed Death of the Funeral.
Yeah, I think we must have done.
I don't know if the original came out. I'm sure someone said 2007, and that's before we started doing the podcast.
Before,
was it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
BBC. BMB.
Yes.
Before Movie Banter.
Yes. Oh, it was a dark and broody time.
Remember them times. So, this is it's a remake, a very recent remake of this film, only two or three years earlier.
Yeah.
But Chris Rock, who was the executive producer, it's his idea to do it, and he's in it. And as he said, no one saw the first one.
Yeah.
So we thought we'll make it again and put in some more familiar faces. See,
at least I quite liked that, his explanation, because it's just the reason he did it. It wasn't. I mean, I'm sure money plays a slight factor, but it wasn't just, well, I thought I'd rip off the Brits and do it. Yeah. It was just saying, well, no one saw it, if we do it, they'll get a better audience, let's do it.
What I've been impressed at, though, is look at the listings this week, the last 2 or 3 weeks in the cinema. A lot of more cinemas have been showing the 2007 version.
Oh, really?
Than the Chris Rock version. So it's inspired them to go back to the original, to the original distributors and say, can we have that one back? And then go, yeah, please. No one saw it last time, so now, absolutely.
It was a very good film, I remember.
It was, I enjoyed it.
It was Keely Hawes and Matthew McFadden and others, wasn't it, really?
And Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Does a good English accent.
There's only one guy who's in both.
Oh, yes.
Which is
I can't remember his name now.
Peter Dinklage.
Yes, that's it.
The slightly smaller fellow.
Yes.
And fair point, because he's very good.
Great.
He's very good.
Yeah.
So it kind of works. But no, this is...
The script is pretty much the same. The
script is quite similar. What they have
imagine
done...
Americanized.
Yeah, Americanized and Afro-Americanized as well, actually.
Oh,
yes. It's what is good about it, I found, is it's kind of a who's who of black actors in comedy in America at the minute, really. So you've got Chris Rock, and you've got Tracy Morgan, who's in 30 Rock.
Yes.
And you've got...
Martin Lawrence. Is Martin Lawrence any good?
He's all right. He's not too annoying.
Is it the best film he's done that isn't a bad boys film?
Yeah. It's not too annoying. He's still quite annoying.
Oh, yeah.
But he's not too annoying. Mm. And Danny Glover is in it.
Oh, yes.
And there's a lot. And people...
Is Zoe Saldana in it?
Yes, she's in it.
Is she any good?
She's good.
She got comic chops?
She's very good. I think she's very good in it, actually. And the other guy in it, who I can never remember his name, but he was the dad in There's Something About Mary.
Oh, Kevin James. It's something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Oh no,
it's the kind of
name that will leap. Oh, it's Keith David.
That's the fella, Keith David.
See, all it took.
There you go.
See, Paul was just reaching for the internet, and then my mind, and Jen turned to me with a look of awe and confusion. Well, Keith David isn't a name that should be on any forefront of anyone's mind necessarily.
But he's very good.
He is extremely good.
He's not
a household name.
And then they've got a few of us white folks in it as well.
Right. I know James Marsden.
James Marsden is very good in it.
Yeah, I've heard about it. He demonstrates a surprisingly rubber face.
Yeah, he's very good in that. It's a very what could be a very one note part in that he's basically just off his face the entire film.
Yes, because he takes someone's tablets.
Yeah,
by mistake,
he's sort of just stoned, really. Mm. And that could you can see there's been so many counts of American Pie films or kind of bawdy comedies where someone is that. and it's a bit rubbish. Mm. But he's very good. He's, you know, he really commits to it. And yeah, he's throughout the film, he's very, very funny.
Because Alan Tudyk did a good job in that part as well. Because in that, I think he was like the one American. Actually, right. Is Peter Dinklage American?
Yes.
But yeah.
But he's playing an American. I think.
Oh, that's true, yes.
Yes.
Nice to that James, because I like James Marsden. I don't feel... I feel he could not do better, because he's done some good things.
Ooh, yeah. I was going to say, he's done all right for himself.
But he's never... I feel he could be proper leading man status.
He's still got time.
Well, yeah. But I think playing Cyclops in the X-Men films sort of undermined him a bit. Mm. Although Interstate 60, I liked him a lot in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in 27 Dresses, which was all right.
But he was also, for a comedy, that's the level I'm thinking.
Yeah.
For a comedy role, Enchanted, like I said last time, He's shown he can do this.
Yes. Yes. Oh, yes, Enchanted, where he said something like, thank you, peasant. Just that one. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, he's very good in Enchanted.
Yes,
yeah. He's very good in that.
And Enchanted may come up later. Oh, yeah, we mentioned that.
Oh, yes, Desert Island Discs.
Flicks. Yes.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Desert Island DVDs, maybe.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking, discs. Yeah. Desert Island Flicks.
Yes, his best fairy tale film.
Because that way we can't be sued for all this money we're making doing it.
You're making money?
Well, send us some money.
Don't tell Jen.
Feel free to just email us some money.
Whenever you go, Paul and I just split enormous piles of gold for people post us.
Exactly. One day we'll buy Gemma Arterton. But she's pricey.
Exactly, Jen is cheap.
So if you buy her, then you can
keep it clean.
No. I'm going to be filth with Gemma Arterton now. I think, no, I don't imply any filth. I don't want any Gemma Arterton filth, thank you.
Really?
No.
You're alone in this room then.
So what were you going to buy her for then? Why were you suggesting
if you buy her, then you can do anything you want, like dispose of her, perhaps.
You want to buy her so that we can then just kill her off and dump her in a...
So you think that killing her off is somehow better than just implying some sort of, you know, innocent, friendly filth?
I didn't say kill
filth.
Her off. Maybe retire her somewhere.
You're now just sounding like a Bond villain. I didn't say kill. I just said disposal. Let's just hope some accident befalls her.
You know, Disprint of Alice Creed, that's fiction. You know, that's not...
That's a blueprint for Jen's evil plan.
That's a good idea. You don't walk out of that going, yeah,
I'll do that.
Now I've seen their mistakes. Now I'll work from this.
I'll know what to do.
Gemma, if you're listening, I'm very surprised. Very surprised.
Yeah, but it's all right. No, it's fine, Jen. Because if you came and joined the podcast, then we'd get rid of Jen, so she wouldn't be here to kill you.
Yeah, so it'd be an ideal situation.
So you just have to contend with me and Paul.
You'd be quite safe.
Yeah, be quite safe. Yeah. Not.
Unless we take our tablets. So I think we finished at Death at the Funeral. It's quite funny. I recommend it, actually.
Over and above the original?
I haven't seen the original.
I'm
tempted to watch the original.
I'd like to imagine they're two, not quite different opposite sides of the same coin, but they're just sort of different versions. Yeah. Definitely the same thing, but different equivalents. Yeah.
No, adaptation of the same play, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we should. We could wrap up with. Get Him to the Greek.
Get Him to the Greek.
Yes. Get Him to the Greek.
Which is. It's the most original film on the list, but it's still a spin off.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Oh, is it?
Because Russell Brand plays the same character. And we do see Sarah Marshall in it at one point.
Is that right?
Yeah, the only bit. I think on a plane. Or he's at home and turns on the TV and you just see your trailer for the crime show that Sarah Marshall is in.
And that's Christian Bale.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think with the guy that she's cast with in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, or in the TV show, we just see a trailer for that with her looking a bit cheesy. So just to tie it in for anyone who hadn't quite registered. So this is Russell Brand playing Aldous Snow, rock star, who in Forgetting Sarah Marshall was clean and had been sober for years, and I think fell off the wagon accidentally by being fed alcohol, and hilarity ensued. And in this, he's very much completely fallen off the wagon, and is living a debauched rock star lifestyle. And Jonah Hill plays a music executive who has an idea to try and put on a concert to revive his industry or his record
Jonah
label.
Hill wasn't in the original, was he?
He was actually. He played a waiter at a restaurant.
Oh, that's right, he was.
Yeah.
But he's a different character in this.
He is a different character, as far as I know. Right. For all I know, there is a slim chance it might be meant to be the same person. And it's like the waiter who has since gone on to join the record, but I don't think they don't make that parallel.
It's just his day job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Hawaii. Hell of a commute.
Miranda Hart in the award-winning sitcom Not Going Out.
Yes, which I hear is exceptionally well written.
Very good. Mm. As it's being written as we speak. and Yeah, she was the acupuncturist in the early series, and then she came back as a cleaner.
Yes. Did you actually reference that then?
No, it sort of was never acknowledged if she's the same character or not. She sort of was. Yeah. Could be, exactly.
Yeah.
It's good to leave it unanswered. So he plays his record label is struggling. Run by P. Diddy, or Puff Daddy, or Daft Biddy, or Sean Combs. You know. And so Sean Combs sends him away, saying, right, okay, then you've got an idea, you want to do this, brilliant, go and get him, bring him back to LA, because he's in England. Go to England, get him, bring him back to LA, we'll put a big concert on, job done. So he has to go and try and control Russell Brand, which makes him sound far more out of control than he is. And then bring him back. And that's basically the plot.
Well, it's not necessarily that Russell Brand's character's out of control, it's just that it's this novice's attempt at proving himself.
Yes, but that's why, because I know Russell Brand divides a lot of people. I know, Paul, is it you who can't stand him? Or various people can't stand him?
And I don't quite get it.
No,
that's it. And I think, going back a couple of years, I found him quite frustrating, because he just seemed to be overexposed and all over the place.
Yeah. Definitely.
But now he's been out of the limelight for a bit, in this, and if you're getting Sarah Marshall, and the few times I see him just in passing, I actually don't mind him.
No, I think...
I like his turns of phrase, and there's a lot of that in this film. I don't know, I mean, he didn't write it, but I imagine he's put his own twist on a few of his lines. And again, because he's not sort of too up himself, playing, hey, I'm brilliant. He plays at quite a likeable... He knows he's a bit washed up, he knows he's slightly off the rails, but isn't sure how to... I mean, he's split up from his wife, who he loves, and he's not sure how to get himself back on track. So he plays a slightly sympathetic character, and he doesn't make a big deal about saying, hey, drugs are fantastic all the time, but that's sort of implied, and then Jonah Hill gets a bit caught up in it. So I actually quite liked him as a character.
Funny, you laughed?
I did laugh, okay. Yeah. Okay. It's not... I was just trying to think of what... Oh, it's Hot Tub Time Machine, which is... I did laugh at, but I'm far more aware is all over the place. This, I probably laughed at as much, but it's not all over the place in a good way. I mean, it's slightly more focused and a bit more linear.
It seems quite straightforward in that it's sort of get this bloke from A to B, and therefore capers and jokes happen along the way, but...
Yeah,
it's
quite not in too forced a way.
Because Hot Tub Time Machine was a lot of... They're throwing a lot of stuff at the wall there.
Yes, it was quite messy. Sometimes, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas this, there's a couple of instances of Jonah Hill throwing up due to excess alcohol, but it's not particularly a sort of gross-out film, really. And there's one quite good over-the-top scene when all hell starts breaking loose in a sort of luxury suite in Vegas with furry walls. It's when Sean Combs turns up, when they get to Vegas rather than LA, and they sort of, we're just stopping off, it'll be fine, and he tracks them down and is trying to sort of chase them along. And he ramps up his comic abilities quite nicely.
Okay, so he's alright, is he?
Yeah, he is. I mean, he just has I think in part because it's sort of initially, like, Robert De Niro was funny to start with anyway, because hey, it's Robert De Niro doing this, and it might be a bit of that because you're not used to him doing it, but I think he has a decent comic timing to him. He's not too overused either. You sort of see him at the beginning, at the end, and that's about it.
No, I think if he was using him more, he'd actually be overstretched, to be honest. But I mean, the casting in general is pretty great. I think everyone has got a great character, and with Russell Brand, I mean, let's face it, he looks the part. He is the part. He basically is that character in many ways.
That's the thing. I think Russell Brand can only ever really play that sort of character with a degree of. But that's why, because he's cast in the Arthur remake, and I can see that as well, because he can play that sort of likable, but but I don't think he'll necessarily ever have much of an acting range outside of that. But that may be right. I mean, lots of people have done, like Michael Cera, do versions of the same thing, but. It can work.
And it seems to me, in many ways, it's like another coming of age sort of film, but for young professionals. It's the chance for this make. What's the character's name?
The record organizer?
Yes.
I can't remember the character's name, actually, but Jonah Hill.
Hill, of basically coming into his own and proving that he can be a good all-round person with his girlfriend and with everything, that it's not all about ideas and dreams. Because, obviously, Snow is his idol. And the point that I found slightly jarring is that the disillusion of his idol at the end, it seems a bit, you know what, I don't want to be disillusioned. I'd rather have this character carry on being a bit of an arse. Because at the end about saying, do you know what, I'm actually really, I'm lonely, I'm living with my mum, and things are a bit sad and pathetic for me. which, okay, it's fine, but it was a bit of a tag on at the end, and I kind of enjoyed the fact of him being a bit of an arse and being this eccentric person. If it's not all a bit cheesy with the British references, I must admit, there are quite a few of those, even though it doesn't seem to be a point of his record label at all. So, yeah, I don't know.
No, that didn't bother me too much. I can see that it was slightly bolted on, but at the same time, you get evidence of that the whole way along. And what his lifestyle is and how he behaves, you can see that he obviously isn't quite happy, but he's overcoming it. And there's only one point when he sort of drops down into accepting or acknowledging that he's quite unhappy, before then sort of picking himself back up again and kind of saying, but I'm going to carry on regardless because I'm doing what I love doing. So he does, he pulls himself without ever saying, no, everything's brilliant. He still sort of recovers. So that aspect didn't particularly bother me.
But there were some very good, funny moments, laugh out loud, and I would think it's definitely, out of the films I've seen this week, the best. For me.
No, well, yeah, probably. I think I'd be more likely to see that again than I would to see Twilight again.
Yes.
But I did quite enjoy Twilight as well.
Well, as not a big Russell Brand fan, I don't know if I'll make it.
No,
given that it seems to be quite about him.
It's not necessarily the version of him that you think it is. He's not to him.
Okay. I'm not too keen on Russell Brand either, but I did enjoy this.
That's it. I mean, if you're in the mood for a comedy, it's really quite a good effort at a comedy. It's better than Hot Tub Time Machine, not as good as The Hangover, but not as good as The Hangover isn't really a criticism because few things are comedy-wise in recent years.
Very good.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Well, shall we wrap up with Desert Island Fleeks?
Oh, yes.
Well, firstly, we had this is an email about last week's which was Dennis Hopper. Hopper film. This is from Ryan Peterson, who says, I just have to throw my hat into the mix and cast a vote for Hoosiers. I love the moment where Gene Hackman gets himself thrown out of the game to force Hopper's character to step up and take responsibility.
Ooh.
Haven't seen it, so...
No, nor have I.
No,
I'm sure you've seen it. That may resonate with you. You might go, yes. Keep up the good work, Ryan Peterson. Well, thank you, Ryan,
thank
for
you.
That. And, yes, if you have any comments about any of the films we've said this week, then tell us.
Or any films that we haven't mentioned, but that you have seen and enjoyed.
Well, we've had actually a couple of emails from Jed, who's emailed about some films that aren't out yet over here. So we're going to save those for future weeks, aren't we? So Toy Story 3... and the A-Team, we will have one day, and we will talk of them.
Yes.
If anyone wants to email in reviews that aren't that long, feel free. We've got quite a few long emails, and we just have to cut down most of it anyway, so feel free to not write more than a paragraph.
Well, longer than a tweet, obviously, unless you're using Twitter, in which case, do it a tweet. But, yes.
So, a review shot.
Yeah. A broad sweep.
Yeah. People do those three-word reviews, don't they? They're quite...
That's quite tough, isn't
it's
it?
Quite tough. You've got to be quite selective there.
Yeah, use more than three words. Yeah. Feel free. We've got time.
Yeah. So on to this week's Desert Island Fleeks, which is based on the Shrek thing, best fairy tale type of movie thing.
It's a tricky one, this.
Yeah,
because this covers a range.
It does cover a range. Any thoughts?
Well, see, one thought that occurred to me, which isn't my final choice, but I actually mentioned it earlier, which was Interstate 60. Just that's sort of a modern fairy tale, kind of, in the sort of fictional degree of mythology to it and tell you a very conventional story, but I mean I wouldn't necessarily pick because it doesn't quite fit. But I just wanted to get the opportunity to plug it again. I reckon. Actually, I'm not sure what you're going for, Paul. So I may clash with you.
No, you go for it.
I'm going to say Princess Bride.
Princess Bride.
Yes.
One of the possibles, and also agreed by Ali Sutcliffe, who says best fairy tale film has to be The Princess Bride. Surely, Shrek gets an honourable mention. But TPB, which I presume means The Princess Bride,
I hope so,
is amazing, no?
Oh, yes.
You are correct.
Very much
amazing.
So.
And
has yet to ever be quite top. Well, Stardust, I think, comes close.
Stardust,
that
it's similar.
Is a,
I did
it's
enjoy
a
that.
Lovely film.
Yeah.
Really
but no, Princess Bride is still the benchmark for me.
Yeah. Jennifer.
Yeah. Well, from my youth, when I was young.
Back in the 50s.
Back in the 50s, yeah. I really loved Labyrinth. I mean, for me, that was the kind of film that I would come home from school, put on the tape and play it again and dance around to the music. And it's a lovely, funny classic, I would say. I think it will be in the future. But actually, as an adult, if I was going to pick a really great fairy tale now, I'm actually going to close to Labyrinth, but with an extra word. Changing it completely.
Carry on Labyrinth.
Carry on Labyrinth. No, to Pan's Labyrinth.
Oh, Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah, because it's that film where you leave going, oh, I really hope it is a fairy tale and not just a tragic
not
film.
Not just a Nazi war crime.
Yeah.
It is, isn't it?
I think it's that is left with you, which makes it haunting and makes you really want it to be a lovely, lovely fairy tale. Yeah. So that's the one I'm going to go for.
Dark film. Very good film.
Yeah. Yes, it is a very dark film.
I'm going to go old school, I think, and pick one of the Disney's.
I was hoping someone would.
Yeah, well, I have to really. And I couldn't really decide which one, to be honest, but I think I'd probably just say Snow White because it was the first.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a benchmark, really, and after that they went, oh, that worked well. Let's do
more
the rest.
Princess, crowbar in as many princesses as we can.
Cinderella's and princesses and frogs and Jungle Books.
Because we're going to need something to put on duvets for all the children in years
exactly.
to come.
We need to craft the women of the world into beings of our own choosing.
So I don't know if it's my favourite Disney film or Disney animated film, but I think I'm going to go with Snow White because you got the dwarves, you got your high hoes and all that. And
it's a proper classic.
It's a belter.
Yes.
It's a belter.
Yeah. Great.
Very good.
Marvellous.
I've also just remembered two films which I wanted to mention but didn't, just because I've finally started working through random DVDs as well. Just very quickly, also because they overlap slightly, which is Starman and The Day the Earth Stood Still, which both turned up from the rental company at the same time with no correlation. And it's only when I'm watching them both, I realise there's a lot of parallels between the two, both with an alien who comes to Earth and takes human form. And then,
which I'd never seen. Film.
Because the crater we went to in Arizona, big, huge crater, because that's the climax of the film is there, because that's where he gets picked up by a spaceship and they have to get there to go back.
Okay.
But yeah, alien comes to Earth, human form, has to interact with humanity and comes to learn. And say, oh no, humans are actually quite nice. But Starman is infinitely better. Day the Earth Stood Still is a very good spectacle, very good visuals. You get sort of a cloud of nanobots discharged to destroy the Earth towards the end before Keanu Reeves manages to stop
it. Oh, it's the Keanu Reeves
version? Yes, the remake, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Sorry, no, it's not the original.
Oh, okay.
So very good visuals, but ultimately quite soulless. Yes. It's Keanu Reeves, he can sort of pull it off in terms of being a soulless alien, sort of unemotional, but he's a bit too unemotional. Whereas Jeff Bridges, being an alien, getting used to a human body, who then Karen Allen drives across the country, he's far more believable. And just he's far more curious about the world and just not understanding how things work, but wanting to. And yeah, it's just makes it very, very watchable.
And doesn't it, if I remember correctly, because I haven't seen it for years, he takes the form of this
her
woman's
dead husband.
Her dead husband. Yes. So she's got these huge conflicts. The fact that it's like her husband's come back from come back to life. But it's not.
I'll have to give it a look.
Yeah. It's because I'd never, it's a name I knew. But then it was when on Facebook she saw the picture of us at that crater and then referenced it. I didn't know that's where. Yeah,
lovely film.
So yeah, if you've never seen it, then it's definitely worth a watch. The day the Earth Stood Still. If you just want to look at some pretty things, then fine. But it's a far more it's just a modern Hollywood blockbuster with no real heart.
Bit like New Moon, then
pretty much
things. That's it.
Pretty things and nothing else.
Speaking of Jeff Bridges, his DVD Crazy Heart is out this week.
Which I still haven't seen.
Highly recommend as well.
I think that's a lot.
Good. We'll wrap up there then. And it's been lovely. It's been real. It's been emotional.
Yeah.
It's been a game of two hearts. It's been a podcast of two hearts.
Yeah, it's been a podcast.
Really. It's been a podcast of one big lump.
Yes. Yeah. What was that noise?
Sorry.
So we will bid you farewell until the next time.
Yes.
Do hopefully email us about things and all that. And we'll
let us know your thoughts. And we'll see you soon.
Ta-ra.
Bye.
Bye.